Okay, today's daf is Yuma Yerushalmi Daf Nun. And we are in the Oz HaHadar on Mem Hei Amabez as we finish up the seventh parak here of Maseches Yuma. So we started to discuss the issues of the Big Day Kahuna. So we have the Braisa in the Bavli on Daf Peches in Zvachim, and here we have it here in Maseches Yuma towards the end of the seventh parak that each of the Begadim is Mechaper for a different sin. We had the Ketonis as Mechaper for the Shvichas Damim of Yosef, and that's all we did. We just did the first one. This whole idea that Begadim can be Mechaper reflects that there is some type of inherent significance to the Begadim, which might be partly where the Rambam got his Shita from, right? The Rambam and the Ramban, we have mentioned this, have a Machlokas, whether Big Day Kahuna is counted as a separate mitzvah or not. The Rambam in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel quotes, there's a separate mitzvah saseh daraisa to wear the begadim. Shenitztavu akonim lilbosh begadim yuchadim lechavur lesefaras. The kohanim are commanded to wear special begadim for honor. Va'az yavdu b'mikdash. And then they will serve in the mikdash. V'hu amr yisalev. That's the pasuk in Tetzaveh. Yasisa big day kodesh la'aron achicha lechavod ulesefaras. Ve'ez banav takriv hilbashtam kutano. So the Rambam lists off the chulu. And he continues, of course, the Gemara in Zvachim, Bizbash Bigdeyam Aleim, Kunasam Aleim, the Chulu. The Ramban right there says, I also believe in Big Day Kahuna, but it's not a separate mitzvah. It's part of the Avoda. There are many details of the Avoda, and the Ramban says that this shouldn't be counted separately. He quotes, Avokulan Chalakim Mechelke HaAvoda, HaMitsuva Mimenu Yisbarach, B'yamim HaNe'emarim Bahem. The Kfar Nisbayer, She'ein Monim Chalkei HaMitzvah. The Rambam himself says you don't count parts of a mitzvah. Therefore, this is part of a mitzvah. Right? You don't count Shechita and Kabbalah and Holacha, as a separate. L'chein lo nimna anachnu asiyas ha-shulchan v'amenorah v'mizbeach. You don't count building the shulchan and the menorah and the mizbeach as a separate mitzvah. V'chulu, l'fi she'ein ha-kelim chelik ben ha-bayis. So that's what the Ramban says. How do you explain? So the Ramban says, the Begadim are a din in the Avoda. And therefore, it's not counted separately. What would the Rambam answer? There's some special significance to the Begadim separate from just the Avoda. The Lev Sameach, right here, one of the classic commentaries on the Rambam. Va'ani omer emes, shim avat shlo bebegadim avodas psula. You're right. If you don't wear the Begadim, the Avoda is pasul. Avalo bishvil kachim chelek mimena. But that doesn't prove that, it's just about the Avoda. V'hakasuv yochiach. And the pasuk proves it. What does the pasuk say? Where begadim do the avoda? Doesn't say that. Where the begadim lechavur lesefaras, to be beautiful, to be honorable. So you see, it's separate. Shalotala asiyas habegadim ba lo mar viasusu big day kodesh la'aron la'avod ulishares. Doesn't say that. Aval amar lechavur lesefaras klomar kidei sheyim bahem mechubad umefuar mibein shar ha'amim ha'am. And therefore, says the Leif Sameach VMK, Mitzad Zeh Roi Shalavishas HaBegadim Timne Mitzvah La'atzma. Kihe Mitzuvim Lios Mechubadim Umifuarim Bibigdeyem. And here's the line, V'naasim Kohanim Al Yadam. The way the Achronim say it, is it a din in the Avoda or is it a din in the Kohen? Or a din in the Kohen, according to the Leif Sameach Rambam. V'mio Zekein She'elo Begadim Mefa'arin Osam Umorin Al Kuhunasam. Right, take that Gemara literally. In addition to the fact that these begadim make the Kohen, they also do the avoda of these begadim. It's like step two, says the Leif Sameach. Ela bahem. So that's the Leif Sameach. This could be the issue behind what we had weeks ago. I don't remember exactly where what Dafa was on. The chilek of what begadim did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the Shavesi Me'amiluim. Right, the Gemara had a suffix, whether he wore Big Day Kahuna or not. So that could be, if it's a din in the Avoda, then he did the Avoda, but he wasn't a Kohen. He wasn't the Kohen Gadol, so if it was din about being the Kohen, then he wouldn't have to wear the begadim. So that could be behind that suffix, in the Gemara. So again, this whole Gemara that we're in the middle of the begadim being Mechaper, it reflects its independence. And maybe, again, it's not Mochar, the Ramban would say, no, they wear the Begadim during the Avoda, and that's what gives the Kapara. But, you don't have to say that, it might hint to the Ramban. Okay. Mechnasayim, Hayim Mechaper al Gili Arayis, The Michrasayim, the pants, are Mechaber Gili Arayis, right? Because that's what the Pasuk says. Kemodat Amar. This is the only beged that the Torah gives a reason or a purpose for. The Aselehem Michrasevad, Lechasos Bazar Erva. To cover the Bazar Erva. In the Bavli, interesting, you don't have an order to how the Begadim should be put on. Like, what's the order? The only one the Gemara says is the Michrasayim have to be first. That's the Michrasayim. Lechasos Bazar Erva. Why? Because if you put on the Ktones first, which is a long shirt, it's already covering Bsar Erva. So then the Michrasayim wouldn't be fulfilling its purpose. The Michrasayim have to be Lechasos Bsar Erva. And that's why they have to be first. The Rambam, when he quotes it, in Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam says, there's a Seder to all eight. Seder to all eight. I mean, some of it, like, makes sense logically how you would put them on, but the Gemara only has it by one, by the Michrasayim. Mitznefes, Haisam Mechaperes, Algasi Haruach. The mitznefes, we already said, mitznefes, mikba'as, that is machaper for haughtiness, right? It's on the head. Kamoda atamar, vayasim es ha-mitznefes al rosho. Right, put the mitznefes on the head. Maybe this could be a distant remez for the idea of wearing a yarmulke, right? Because the mitznefes is about being mechaper and the idea of keeping it on the head, and the yarmulke, right, where it comes from, Yare Malka, the fear of the king, it's to keep us in check and to always remind us what is, who is above us, right? The Ramban says that this is why a king has to have his own Sefer Torah. The king, there are separate halachas that we know that a king has to have, and in Yurches Chaf, the Ramban talks about in Dvarim, that he can't have too many horses, too many wives, too much money, and he has to write a Sefer Torah just for himself, besides the Sefer Torah that he writes as being just a regular Jew. Levilti rum levavo me'achav. Right? So the Pasuk says, so that his heart is not heightened, right? Because he, the king, he's the most, he's the most danger. The most danger that, one could have in terms of feeling haughty. Right, the king says the Ramban nirmaz bakan b'Torah iser ageyos gavus. Right, this is the only time the Torah has it. It's hinted to the iser of being arrogant. Ki akasav yimneas hamelach migavus v'romamus halev. The pasuk prevents the king from having an uplifted heart. V'kol shekein acherim shein ruim l'kach. Surely others that are not roy. Ki beroy lehis romem ulehis gadel yasiren elias levavos shafel kachol echav akohanim. His heart has to be low, like the other Kohanim, ki agaiva mida maguna v'nim eses eitzel ha'elokim afilu b'melech. Even a king, arrogance is a terrible mida, and that's what the mitznefes comes to be mechaper on the gasir. Only Hashem has gaiva. Ki l'Hashem levado hagdula v'haromus v'lo levado hatila ubo yishalel ha'adam. As it says, tovas Hashem kol gvalev. Right, the pasuk says in Mishle. V'ksiv im bezos yishal mishalel haskel v'yadoa usi. Okay, we continue. The mitznefes is for gaiva. Avnet ha'yemechaper al aganavim. The avnet, which was the belt that was twisted around, was mechaper on ganavim. Ganavim twist around. They twist the truth. They twist who they are. They go behind and they act in a deceiving way. V'is deboy meimer ala ha'ukmanim. Others say not ganavim, but ukmanim. What are ukmanim? People also who act crookedly. The Karban Eda. Ma'akmim drachim va'omrim b'fiyem b'libam bal imam. And they say things that they don't mean. That's the ukmanim. V'ha'avnet k'neged atzila yedeim k'neged alev. So the avnet, either the avnet is twisted around like they twist their behavior, or the avnet, we know it's not a belt that's worn on the hips like we wear our belts. It's much higher up. It's like across from the heart, closer to the armpits, not all the way up, but the belt is worn, the avnet is worn up closer on the chest. So near the heart, so that's a remez, says the Karban Eda. Amar Rabbi Levi, Shloshim Mishtayim Amo Hayubo. It was made of 32 Amos. 32, Lev. 32 Amos. V'hayim Ma'akmo Lakan Olakan. And it curved and they twisted it around here and here. Choshen Oyim Achaper Al-Mate Adin. The Choshen, as we know, the Torah named it Choshen Mishpat. The Choshen is Machaper for those who twist judgment. K'mo Da'at Amar V'yasisa Choshen Mishpat. So the Choshen was for judgment. Ephod, hayim mechaper ala ovdei avodah zarah. The ephod was mechaper for ovdei avodah zarah, because the word ephod is found in Tanakh, the apron used for avodah zarah. K'modat amar, ve'ein ephod utrafim. The ephod. Interesting, Rashi, we've quoted this before, that the Rashi quotes in Parshas Tetzaveh, he describes all of the begadim, and then he gets to the ephod. And Rashi says, I don't really know exactly what the ephod looked like. I'm not sure. I don't have a mesorah about it. I can't find it. And then Rashi says, V'libi omer li, my heart tells me, and then there's a 20-line Rashi. And he tells us, what my heart tells me and what I think it looked like. Right? So that's Rashi has what has been called a halachic intuition. That he had a sense, even though he didn't have explicit text, but based on everything else that Rashi knew, so he had a halachic intuition. Rav Soloveitchik used this idea in a hesped that he gave for his uncle, the Brisker Rav, the Griz. And he quotes that the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us, Torah tzivalanu Moshe morasha kiilas Yaakov, atikri morasha ela mi'orasa, right, morasha erisin, that we're married to the Torah. Erisin, right? That's why is that in Sanhedrin? Around Daf Nun Tes or so? Because it's explaining why Goyim can't learn Torah. So, why, it's like Eli Arias, the Gemara says, right? Erisin, because we're married to the Torah, and if the other nations learn Torah, then they're it's Eli Arias. Fascinating application. But Erisin, Rav Soloveitchik explained, is only stage one of marriage. We know Erisin and Nisuin. So Erisin, so we're all married to the Torah, but it's Erisin. Explains Rav Soloveitchik, because there are only a few Yechidei Skula in every generation that have Nisuin to the Torah. Not just Erisin, but Nisuin. Full marriage. What does that mean? Nisuin is when, as he describes so beautifully in his Hesped, Madodech Midod, he says when the hearts beat as one, and you could really sense, and you know you've been married for so many decades, so many years, you know what the other person wants and feels. He says that's how the Gdoli Yisrael, who have that, like Rashi, Libi Omer Li, that's what he said about the Brisker Rav. But that's the Nisuin to the Torah, not just Erisin to the Torah, which every Jew has. But that's the Ephod, Rashi said, describes the Ephod, Libi Omer Li. I also heard it as part of a story once, that they say that Rashi was once with his students going down the street, and all of a sudden he saw a woman riding on a horse. And he couldn't take his eyes off of the woman riding on the horse, staring at her. And the Talmidim were like a little bit uncomfortable, like, what's our Rebbe doing? He's staring at the woman. So Rashi says, you see that? They're like, yeah, we see that. What's what are you looking at? He says, look. He says, what? Look at Rashi on the ephod. Libi Omer Li, that the ephod that was worn is similar to the aprons that the women wear when they ride horses. Right? So Rashi saw this woman riding on the horse in the apron. And he thought, oh, that's the ephod. So here, ephod, that's a Rashi's Mechaper and Avodah Zarah. Me'il, the long coat made of tcheles, me'il. But we know the bottom of the me'il, as it's described, has bells and pomegranates. Me'il, Rabbi Simon, Rishim Rabbi Yonasan, de Beis Guvrin. Rather, Rabbi Simon said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, of Beit Guvrin. Shnei Dvarim Lohaisa Bahen, Kapara. There are two Averis that have no sacrificial Kapara. They have no kapara that could come with a karban. The kabbalah and a Torah kapara. So the Torah gives another option. They can't get a kapara with a karban, so there's another option that they have. The Eluhain, ha'omer lashon hara. Lashon hara has no karban associated with it. The ahorig nefesh b'shgaga, and someone who kills by accident. Both of those, even though, you know, other shgagas have chatos, but this don't, they don't. So what did Hashem do? Homer lashon hara lo haisalo kapara v'kavalo atorah kapara. So Hashem gives you a kapara. How do you get kapara? Again, along with tshuva. Along with tshuva, how do you get kapara? Zoge hameil. The bells. The bells on the bottom of the meil. That helps be mechaper for lashon hara. V'haya ala aron l'shares. Aaron will wear it. V'nishma kolo. Whenever the Kohen Gadol walked, you heard it. You heard it because the bells knocked against each other. So that makes a sound. So Yavo Kol V'Yachaper Ala Kol. The sound of the Kohen Gadol walking will be Mechaper on the sounds of Lashon Hara that came out of your mouth. Right? And that's the Me'il be Mechaper on Lashon Hara. The Ahoreg Nefesh. What about somebody kills by accident? Lo Haisa Lo Kapara. There's no Kapara for that. Again, amongst the Karbanos. The Kabbalah Torah Kapara. Misas Kohen Gadol. Right? Not only that, first Galus. First Ari Miklat. And then the final stage is when the Kohen Gadol dies, as we know, V'yashav ba and Mos HaKohen HaGadol, a big sugya in Meseches Makos. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, Tani, we have a Brisa that says, no, maybe there is kapara for somebody who killed by accident. You're saying there is no such kapara except for the Ari Miklat. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, meaning why would you need a kapara? What if there were no Edim? right, for the Misa B'Shogeg. How does the person get kapara for that? Tani, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Nemer, kapara bifnim. It talks about kapara. The phrase kapara is used regarding bifnim. That's talking about the par of Yom Kippur that we've spoken a lot about. V'nemer kapara bachutz. And it says kapara bachutz. Where does it say kapara bachutz? Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa. There was a murder. They take the anonymous corpse. They don't know who it is. The Zakenim do a whole ceremony. They break the neck. And they say, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael. So the Lashon of Kapara is used by the Egla Arufa Bachutz. So the Lashon of Kapara is used by the Par of Yom Kippur Bifnim and the Par Bachutz. So Ma Kapar Ha'amura, flip the words, Bachutz. Just like the Kapara Bachutz by the Egla Arufa, Ben Abakar Machaper al Shofchei Damim, just like Egla Arufa is Machaper for murder, Av Kapara Ha'amura Bifnim, so to the Kapara that's mentioned Bifnim, Ben Habakar Machaper al Shofchei Damim. So too, the Ben Abakar, it'll be Kobe, so there is. So basically, the Gemara says, how could Rabbi Yonason say that there's no kapara for somebody who kills Peshogeg with karbanos? What do you mean? We have a gzera shava. Between kapara, Egla Rufus Machaper on murder, and the par of Yom Kippur is Machaper on murder. So you see, it has a kapara answer. Rabbi Yonason won't answer. No. Kan Peshogeg, kan Bemezid. No, the difference between Shogeg and Mezid. Right, Rabbi Yonason, who says there's no kapara except the going to Ari Miklat and the Kohen Gadol dying, that's Peshogeg. The Yom Kippur par, that's Mechaper for murder b'mezid. Says the Gemara, that answer doesn't work because it's compared to Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is Mechaper on any murder. You have no idea how this person was murdered, mezid or Shogeg. Shani Egla Arufa be Shogeg be mezid. Is there a difference by Egla Arufa between Shogeg and mezid? There's no difference. It's Mechaper for all murder. So too, the power of Yom Kippur should be mechaper for all murder. So we're back to the question, right? What do you mean, Rabbi Yonason, that there's no kapara for murder b'mezid? If somebody wants to do tshuva for that, and there was no edim, and he's not put to death, right? There's no chiyah for a person to kill themselves if they committed murder. That's not only no chiyah, but one's not allowed to. If Bezdin puts you to death, that's one thing. But if there were no edim, do tshuva. So Egla Rufa is mechaper for both. So the power of Yom Kippur should be mechaper for both. Answer, no. Amar Rabbi Yossi, there's still a difference between the power of Yom Kippur and the Egla Arufa. Kan al chet yadua, v'kan al chet she'enu yadua. Egla Arufa is only mechaper for a chet she'enu yadua. We don't know who murdered, we don't know how, we don't know anything. So that's mechaper. But the Yom Kippur is only mechaper for a chet yadua. So you can't compare the cases, but it's there's a difference, right? And that has the chet yadua has no other kapara. I misstated it. The comparison between Egla Arufa and par of Yom Kippur is only for a chet she'ena yadua. If it's not known, but if somebody knows they did a chet, then that's not in this comparison. And that's what Rabbi Yonason was talking about. There's no other option except for galus and the misas kohen gadol. Good. Tzitz. What about the tzitz? The tzitz is mechaper. The golden sits on his forehead. At is the boy meimer al hagodfanim. Some say that this is mechaper for the blasphemers, those that curse God. This the boy meimer al hazipanim. Others say no, it's mechaper for those who are brazen of spirit. Where do you get these? Mandam al hagodfanim, the one who says that it's mechaper for the gudfanim, the blasphemers. Nicha, where does that come from? That comes from the pasuk by Goliath. Dirse vatitpa ha'eved b'mitzcho. David HaMelech took his slingshot and he slung the rock and it hit him exactly where the armor wasn't covered on his forehead and hit the stone was lodged there. So you see the lashon of Metzach by Goliath, who was a blasphemer, Viksiv, and it says by the tzitz v'haya mitzcho tamid. So you know that the tzitz is mechaper for blasphemers because you see the same word. Same word is used by the tzitz, the same word is used by Goliath, who was a blasphemer. Umanda Amar al Azipanim, and what about the one who says that tzitz is mechaper for brazenness of spirit? So what's the source of that? Because the pasuk says Umetzach Isha Zona Hayalach. Right, it says that the forehead of Isha Zona Hayalach, and that word Metzach also appears by the tzitz. So just like that pasuk is a reference to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is a reference to a brazen woman. So the tzitz is mechaper for brazenness of spirit, period. Interesting, that pasuk by Goliath, so it says, Vatitva ha'even b'mitzcho, the stone was lodged in his forehead, and if you remember the story, the end of the that pasuk. Pasuk says there in Shmuel Aleph, Yudzayin Mem Tes, Vayachaz haplishti al mitzcho, Vatitpa ha'even b'mitzcho, Vayipol al panav artsa. And he falls straight. He falls flat. Which Rav Chaim Shmuel Aleph picks up on that and says, Rashi picks up on that. Rashi picks up and says, usually if you hit in the forehead, you fall backwards. And here he fell straight. He fell straight down flat on his face. Why? So Rashi there, Rashi in Sefer Shmuel says, Kidei shelo yitzta'er David leilech lachtochas rosho. It'll be such a long schlep for David to have to go cut off his head on the other side of the giant. Shenistaker David achshav shteim esrei amos vizeratayim shekamaso shogali asheish amos vizeris. So that's the nace that happened. He should have fell backwards, fell forward to give give a little chizuk to David HaMelech. So Chaim Shmuel Aleph says, why did Hashem do this nace? Once in a while, Hashem does a nace, an unneeded nace, just to say, give it like a divine kiss, to say, I'm here. You know, David is going to be okay. Maybe Hashem was telling David, David, you're about to start a very difficult stage of your life. Shaul's going to want to kill you for a couple of years, right? And he's going to chase after you, and it's going to be very hard. But know that I'm with you. Maybe that's why. Right, and that's similar, he quotes, that's what happened, Rashi Parshas Vayeshev, when Yosef was sold to the Arabs who had Nechos Sari Valot, all these wonderful smelling spices. And Rashi quotes, why does the Torah have to tell us what kind of spice merchants the Arabs were? So what does Rashi say? Because it's not normal for Arabs to have all of these sweet smelling things. And it was to give Yosef a little kiss, to give Yosef a little chizik. Bishas, and Rav Chaim Shmuel Aleph says in Maimar Tezayin, Ki Bishas Choshech Va'afela Zu, Bishas Shekol Olamo Charev Alav. When the whole world was crumbling in front of Yosef, Alul Haya Yosef LaHagia Lidei Yeyush Chas V'Shalom. L'chor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malam Asenim En El Gamre, Hashem is forgetting about him. Farah Yu Avud V'Nishka Chas V'Shalom. Bishas Kasha Zu, Hashem sends him a message. I'm with you. I'm with you. The spices. And that's David HaMelech with the falling flat. And that is also, that's the Nes Chanukah. Right, the Nes Chanukah, which according to many say it was unneeded. What do we need? Tumah Hotzeh B'Tzibur. Again, that's the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. But still, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you a Nes anyway, because I want you to know that I'm still with you. Hashkacha. Okay, we continue. So that is the Tzitz. That's the Tzitz. Once we're talking about Begadim, adds on the Gemara, there's a ninth, maybe Beged, or maybe not. Maybe it's not. Urim V'Tumim. Right, the Mishnah spoke about the Urim V'Tumim. What was the Urim V'Tumim? We mentioned last time. Maybe it was a cloth put in, maybe it was the Choshen itself. V'lama nikra shmam Urim. Why was it called Urim? Shein me'irin li'Yisrael. It lit up for Bnei Yisrael. V'Tumim, shein matimim yislofanim es haderach. It would perfect the path in front of them. Before Tam. Matimim levan es haderach. Shebishah shah Yisrael tamimim. When Bnei Yisrael we're following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayimachavna Lemesaderach. That's when the Urim V'Tumim worked. But this day of the Gemara says, Shekein Matsanu, because we do find that sometimes the Urim V'Tumim misled, in quotes. Shebidu Lohem Begeva Binyamin. Remember by the end of Shefer Shoftim, Pilegesh Begeva. Based on we're going to fight Binyamin. So they went to the Urim V'Tumim. Should we fight? It says, go fight. And they went to fight and they got destroyed. They lost a lot of people. Then they go again. Should we go fight? The Urim V'Tumim says, go fight. They went again, they lost. The third time, it says, go fight and you'll win. But you see that the Urim V'Tumim misled them. It must be Bnei Yisrael weren't on the level at that stage. And therefore, this Deah says that it was misled. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chas V'Shalom. Lo Bidu Lohem Begev Binyamin. The Urim V'Tumim never misled. Maybe it won't answer. That's happened. That's the Navi says that sometimes. But it's not going to give the wrong answer. Even in the Geva Binyamin, Shabarishona, Amar Alai, V'lo Amar Nesativ. The first and second time, that the Bnei Yisrael asked then, all it said was go fight. It didn't say you were going to win. It just said go fight. Ubishnia, the third time, Amar Aleva Amar Nisativ. So it didn't lie. It just said what's going to happen. And therefore, don't be motzi laz on the Urim V'Tumim. Period. Veinishlam Sheshesh Kachas, other rules of the Urim V'Tumim, you don't ask two questions at once. One request at once. Vim Nishalu, what happens if somebody asks two questions of the Urim V'Tumim? 3 days. Is Tani Tani Meshiva La Rishona and Meshiva La Shnia? Hashem answers the first one, not the second one. Viz Tani Tani Meshiva La Shiva and Meshiva La Rishona. And second day, Hashem answers the second one. Viz Tani Tani and Meshiva La Rishona La Shnia. Or Hashem is just going to ignore you. Because why do you ask two questions? You went against the rules. And there's a hint to each one of these opinions. According to the one who says that Hashem answers the first and not the second one, min hados from the following. David asked two questions, but in the wrong logical order. So, and Hashem answered, basically David asked question two, then question one, and Hashem answered question one. So does that prove that Hashem always answers the first question? Because it should have been first, that was really the basic first question. Or does that prove that Hashem answers the second question? Because that was actually the second question that was asked. So that's the two days here. Vayomer David, when David is hiding in with the people of Keilah, he wants to know, is Shaul going to chase me? And are the people of Keilah going to give me over? But he asked in the opposite direction. Hashem al Yisrael, hayaskiruni bali Keilah biyado, hayereit Shaul. So what should he ask first? Is Shaul coming and are they going to give me over to him? But he flipped it. So David, lo shal kahogan, David didn't ask logically. Lo tzircha hayereit Shaul. First he should have said, is Shaul going to come down? Vim yereit yaskiruni bali Keilah biyado. But Hashem answered about Shaul. So therefore you see, really he answered the first question, what should have been the first question. Mandara Mishiba Lashniya Vina Mishiba Larishona, according to the second opinion, that the Urim Tumim always answers the second question, it's what Lamaisa happened. Min Hadava, Yamar Davada Askiruni, Bali Kiila Osi, Vagomer. Hashem answered the Shaul question was actually asked second. Manda Amar Ena Mashiva Lo Al Rishona Vo Al Achrona. And according to the one that says Hashem doesn't answer either, take out the next part of the Pasuk. The next pasuk, take out a line. David bikesh ala rachamim. In this case, David not only asked the question, but then he said, Hashem, please answer me. Hashem elokei Yisrael hageinu ala avdecha. Why did David have to add that request? It must be because otherwise Hashem wouldn't have given him any answer. Because why do you have to say extra? Please answer me. It must be because otherwise, says the Karban Eidah, miduhutzrach la rachamim, shmamino shalo ratzu lashiva lo klum. He wasn't going to get any answer. Interesting. Teida lacha, and I'll prove it to you, says the Gemara. Shari shtayim sha'al, because after all, he has two things. He has two things, veshivu shalosh. And really, he got three answers, right? Will Shaul come down? Will they give me over? Will I win? He didn't ask that third question. But Hashem gave him an answer to that third question. So that shows that was all because of his extra tefillah, right? Because the pasuk says, we're going to add in the first half of the pasuk, vayishal David b'Hashem leimar, erdov achari agdud azeh hasiganu, Vayomer lo, redov ki asek tasig vatzel tatzil. Right, he asks, this is a different time. This is a couple of prakam later where David HaMelech says, shall I run after the gdud? Will I achieve it? Should I run after them? Will I catch up to them? Those are two questions that David asks in a different context, not by Keilah. Hashem says, run, you'll catch up and you'll win. So you see Hashem gives a third answer. So teda l'chashay shtayim shal, sometimes David asks two questions, veshivu shalosh. Back to the Gemara, vayomer lo, redov ki asek tasig vatzel tatzil. So the fact that he asked, got an answer to a third, it must be that he asked special, rachmanus, and that's why he got an answer. Otherwise, if he asked two things, you get no answer. Is tani tani akol hayashomea? How did the Urim and Tumim work? Some say it was a voice. Hashem spoke. Is tani tani aksav bolet? We're used to this opinion. The ksav was bolet. The ksav lit up. The ksav lit up. That's the Ramban and Parshat Tetzaveh discusses whenever the Urim V'Tumim was asked, the letters on the Choshen lit up, and the Kohen Gadol had to decipher the letters. If you look in the Rambam does not talk about anything about lighting up, right? The Rambam seems to say that when the question was asked, the Kohen Gadol just had a Ruach HaKodesh vision, and he was told the answer. Told the answer through the, that's the Rambam's Lashon here in the Klei HaMikdash, all the way at the end, the Ketzat Shoalin, Omer HaKohen Upanav Lefnei Aaron, Vashoal Me'achar Upanav Lachari HaKohen, Vomer HaShoel, E'ele Olo E'ele, Ve'eno Shoel B'kol Ram, V'lo Maharher B'libo, Ele B'kol Namuch. You ask quite low, in a low voice. K'mishim Ispalo B'eno Levein Atzmo. U'miad, Ruach HaKodesh Loveshes Es HaKohen, U'mabit B'choshen, V'roe Bo B'mare HaNevua, Ale Olo Ta'ale. So they stick out, but the first starts off with a Mara HaNevua. He has a Mara HaNevua, so maybe only he saw the letters bolet. Hashem was giving him a message. Right? Sounds like it was only with that Mara HaNevua. So, says the Madar Abakal Hayashamei Anichas. The Gemara says, if you say that Hashem spoke through the Urim V'Tumim, Tichsiv HaYishmas HaKol. It says that he heard. Mandamar HaKsav HaYabolet. If it's Ksav, I have a question. There are some letters that are not in the Shvatim's names. So if you have to communicate. V'ales ches bishvatim, v'lo tzadi, v'lo kuf bishvatim. You're missing three letters. So what do we say? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Kasav Aleihem. Those letters are covered. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's still one letter missing. V'ales tes she bishvatim. There's no tes in the shvatim or in the avos. Answer. Kol eile shifte Yisrael ha'yachakok aleihem. Another version is shifte Yeshurin. It says the word shifte. So that's how it works. Hadron lok perik ba lo kol gadol, kohen gadol. Right, this is really a hadron on the entire Avodas Yom HaKippurim, because that's what the first seven prakim are about. This last perik now is about what we call Yom Kippur. All the lamaisa elements of the inuyim. Let's just get to the Mishnah. Yom HaKippur maser b'achilu b'shtiyah b'rechitza. Yom Kippur is also eating and drinking, u'b'rechitza and washing, u'b'sicha and smearing, anointing, u'b'nilas asandal and wearing leather shoes, u'b'tash b'shamita and husband and wife being together. So those are all the inuyim. Major machlokas rishonim, which we'll talk about. The Rambam says all the inuyim are daraisa. All the daraisa, only eating and drinking gets kares, but all the inuyim are daraisa. That's the Rambam shita. The Bali Tosfos, the Tosfos Yeshanim, and the Rosh say no. Only eating and drinking is daraisa, but the other ones are durabanan. Others are durabanan, and that's how you can have flexibility by washing. Let's say the next line: Hamelach vakala yechulis b'neim. The king and the kala could wash their faces. V'achayet in olas sandal, and a yoledes could put on shoes. Divrei b'leazer v'cham osu v'cham say usher. So that's the line. Let's just do the first piece of Gemara and then we'll stop. Yom HaKippur masur b'achila u'b'shtiyah v'chulu, says the Gemara. Anish karis v'atam arhachin. It's usher. It's worse than usher. You get a chi of karis. Why does the Mishnah say, oh, it's usher, which sounds like it's not a good thing to do. There's a chi of karis. Much stronger word should be used. Amr Abihila Lefachos Mikishira Nitzricha. It's referring to Pachos Mikishir. Right? That's where this comes up in the Shas Bavli. Pachos Mikishir. Pachos Mikishir is not an Onesh, but it's Usser. Not an Onesh, but it's Usser, and that's why that's what the Mishnah is including. Okay, a little more drama. Tanuat Nafshosechem, Yocho Yeshalo Bacham Vatsina Kadeshiitz Ta'er, Inui. What the Torah says, afflict yourself. Doesn't even say eating, drinking. Just says afflict yourself. How do you know what's included? Maybe I should just sit in the sun and sweat on Yom Kippur or freeze in the cold. Tamalomar, no. Called Malacha, lo sasu. The Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur is put next to the Inui. So we have a drasha. Malacha, she'asati l'cha b'makam acher. The Inui, she'asati l'cha b'makam acher. You know what's Asher on Yom Kippur? A malacha that's usser elsewhere, and inui that's usser elsewhere. Where is that? Ma malacha shasati l'cha b'makam acher? Malacha shechayv l'av kares. Which malacha is usser elsewhere? Shabbos. Shabbos has malacha that's usser. So that's the malacha of Shabbos is what Yom Kippur's talking about. Where's eating usser b'makam acher with an isser kares? Af inui shasati l'cha b'makam acher. Inui shechayv l'av kares. What's that? Eluhain, elu ha-pigulin v'hanosarin. Pigul and osar. We know it's an Isser Karis to eat those. So that's what's, so you see, that's what the Torah is referring to by Inui. You're not allowed to eat those on Yom Kippur. The Gemara is going to have to go into, and how about eating non-pigal and osar? So that's going to get into the Limudim, how the Gemara is going to include other foods that are usher to eat on Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll stop here.